On the surface, what we sense we are reading may not actually be what we're reading. Let me just start by saying that. On the surface, what we sense we are reading may not in fact be what we're actually reading. Let's look at the text from Ephesians chapter 2. Certainly, the most powerful word of that first sentence is the word outsiders. Outsiders colors the way we enter into this text. And so, as I begin this sermon by running this text and running you through this text, I just want to acknowledge that that word outsiders, which is so much a part of our 21st century American cultural moment here, right now, today, that word outsiders probably emotionally grabs you. Even if you don't consciously recognize it, immediately by reading that first sentence, this becomes a text about outsiders versus insiders. But I say again, on the surface, what you sense you may be reading is not in fact what you're reading. To be sure, Paul does speak about the experience of being an outsider. He colors the Gentiles, those non-Jewish people. Gentiles means of the nations, of the people out there. That's where we get the word Gentile. Paul colors those Gentiles as outsiders. He even acknowledges that within the culture in which they live, this Jewish-dominated culture of the early Christian church, they had been called uncircumcised heathens. Well, that doesn't sound nice, does it? And it's not. But they have been brought into the fold. And yet, there is still the sense, the quality, that for them, for those people, they are outsiders. And in fact, that sense still continues in and among God's Christian people, not just the ethnically Jewish people, but now God's Christian people. And Paul, therefore, is taking on full-throated measure, this idea of outsiders and insiders, of those who have and those who have not, within a spiritual frame of reference. And so I want to just simply say at the outset, on the surface, what you sense you may be reading is not actually what you should be reading. And I want you to look at the third paragraph of this text just to drill into what I mean by that kind of heavy logic opening sentence. John had us read it. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. The operative understanding here is that no matter whether you were an outsider or considered yourself an insider, he manufactured the peace that finally brought you to the fullest expression and experience of being a child of God. You may be, in other words, nearer because you have the covenant, you have the promises, you've got the prophets, the law, the writings. You may be nearer because of many things that you hold literally, they hold the scrolls of the Old Testament in the palm of their hands. But finally, make no mistake about it, they may have been nearer, but there was still a dividing wall of hostility that separated them from God. And that dividing wall that we talk about today is the wall of sin at work in every human heart. The big idea for today is simply this: sin constantly builds walls. Sin is always laying brick on brick upon brick. And because sin permeates, infests, corrupts every human heart, therefore, every single one of us on a daily basis, because of that age-old Adam, that decades, lifelong corruption, We are master wall builders. Sin always builds walls. And even if you think you are nearer than some, make no mistake about it, you are separated from the love of God because of the biggest, most powerful wall that can ever be built between God and us, and that is the wall of sin, and no one is more responsible for building those kind and that kind of wall than you and me. That is the message of Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul, by throwing into relief how far outside the Gentiles were and how great the grace it took from God in order to send his son to die for those uncircumcised heathen, it is Paul's equal opportunity to say to the Jewish people, by the way, don't consider yourself above the law. To quote another part of scripture from Romans, where Paul himself is quoting an Old Testament passage, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, the walls are built and the walls are oppressive. It's the big idea for today. And so when we ask the question by way of the sermon title today, can these walls tumble down too? The answer for us is a resounding absolutely not. These walls can't tumble down. They don't tumble down. The walls that we have in our lives, they only get built up more and more and more by our thoughts, words, and deeds, by the original sin that is at work in us. Encouraged and empowered by the evil in this world that surrounds us and eggs us on, from the news media to Hollywood to our own best circle of friends. Yeah, these walls, they don't tumble down. They don't get so heavy that they implode on themselves. No, they just get higher and higher and higher. These walls cannot just, as a matter of happy circumstance, tumble down. Won't happen. Sin never ceases in a human heart. And it's for that reason that God sends his son into this world. So that for walls that will not tumble down, he will smash, break, demolish, and catastrophically bring those walls to smithereens. He in his body destroyed the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, and he destroys that wall of hostility between ethnic groups by helping them understand that the real wall of hostility that sin creates between us and God has in fact been broken down by that same Jesus. Jesus is the wall breaker, the wall destroyer, the demolisher of all bricks. He reduces to rubble that wall that divides us from our Creator, and he does that by offering his body, his flesh on the cross, and through the glorious resurrection, vindicating the truth, the walls have come down. It's amazing to see how from our littlest of days, these little ones that gather with Jacob up here, they're already being tutored in wall building. And the older they get, especially through their teenage years, as I'm learning right now, the older they get, the more proficient they become, the more adept they are at laying brick upon brick with perfect seams of mortar in order to separate themselves from their parents under the guise of independence. Yeah, wall building is absolutely just native to the human heart, sinful as it is. I'm excited that in a few weeks, on the weekend of September 7th through 9th, we're going to take our 6th graders through 12th graders, we're going to take our teenagers out to Lake Williamson and with my dear friend Bill Yonker, my former senior pastor up at Emmanuel Dundee, a nationally known youth speaker. He's going to come down and he's going to talk about Joshua, the walls of Jericho, and what it means when God says there is no humanly constructed wall, physical or spiritual, that can separate me from my purposes being realized in this world. God does not tolerate walls well. And because God does not tolerate walls well, Bill is going to come and he is going to bring the message of the gospel and some really great Bill Yonker stories with him. And our kids are going to learn from the earliest of ages as much as we can by the power of the Holy Spirit to confront the walls that have been constructed in their life and to receive by faith the wall-breaking power of Jesus in themselves. September 7th through 9th is going to be a great weekend for our youth ministry. I look forward to that. Chris Pavla will be there. Chris Pavla, as many of you know from our older adult ministry, is up in University City, and he is breaking down ethnic and racial walls in that very racially divided part of our St. Louis city through his ministry there. And he's going to be leading the music for that weekend, September 7th through 9th, with our kids. And more than just playing a guitar and helping kids learn some new songs, Chris will be there in word and in song to show our kids what it means to be the kind of pioneer in this community that breaks down walls, that honors the God that has put him into ministry by bringing that wall-breaking power of God into our racially divided St. Louis community. I'm about as excited right now for that weekend, which I haven't even been through yet, as I am actually excited about the week that just passed in Vacation Bible School. And then you add to that all the congregational volunteers who are going to break out and break down with kids in smaller groups to begin tackling specific kind of walls that are getting built. That's a great thing I'm pretty excited about. Yeah, when Jesus Christ comes into our lives, the walls come down. And it's not just walls that are relational. It's not just walls that are even spiritual in the moment of our day-to-day existence with God. The final wall that Jesus comes to break down is the wall that separates us in this mortal life from the life that God promises us in eternity. Many of you know Pam and Jerry Schmidt. You've walked with them patiently as Pam has fought cancer. Over the past week, she has gone into hospice care, and the joy for that Christian family who gathers at her bedside in hospice is that there is coming in short days now the confidence that the final wall that separates us from the vision glorious, the church victorious, Pam at rest with Jesus. That wall will come tumbling down in short order. My brothers and sisters in Christ, can these walls tumble down too? No, not because of any effort or cooperation on our part, but Jesus comes to confront the walls that have existed in our heart maybe for decades, to confront the walls that are even now being built between others and us, outsiders and we, so to speak, insiders, walls to be broken down between us and God, manufactured over years because of guilt and shame and any other kind of sinful attribute. Jesus comes and breaks down those walls. And so as you come today and you come to this wall, which is the altar of a communion rail, and as you receive from behind it into your hands in front of it, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which was broken and shed for you, that you would receive that gift over this wall and understand that in the giving of that gift, the wall that actually exists because of sin in your life, it has been demolished because of Jesus. And that this wall would represent, not only this week, but in future weeks to come, a reaffirmation of your intention by faith to confront those walls with Jesus and continue to dismantle them. Brick by brick, maybe. It may take years to do that experientially. But by faith that you understand in Jesus, those walls are gone. Because of his love for you. And because of the power expressed on the cross when he broke the power of sin in us and in this world. Amen.